We're holding on Nunhe Omud Bey's fifth line. We learned yesterday that we talked about the various among other things, we talked about the various arayas and the details that it says about them and what we learned from each one. We also talked about, now our Mishnah had told us that with a yavam and a yavama, just ha'arah, the first stage of bia, which we're going to define in today's Gemara, what that is enough to make that she's now his, that she's now his wife, as we're going to discuss later in the Gemara, to what extent. And we said also that any of the Isurei Bia, whether we're talking about Mrs. Bastin, Kores, Lav, or even Esse, then Ha'ara is enough to make it that to already make it that the Isur has kicked in, and therefore there's going to be Malkus or Kores or Chatos or what have you for each one of them. We said that in that connection, we said by a Shivcha Harufa, the Torah Me'irin, which is discussed in this week's parasha, the Torah makes an exception and says where there it implies that you have to have Gemar Bia in order for the special dinim that we have over there, that he brings a that he brings an Asham and she gets Malchus. That applies only if they did Gemar Bia, only if they did the complete act, not just Hara. But other than that, Hara is enough. So now the Gemara says, Omar Rava, Lomali because of Rahmana Shikhvas Zera Beshivcha Harufa, Shikhvas Zera Beishas Ish, Shikhvas Zera Besoita. Now, besides for the Shivcha Harufa, there are two other places where the Torah, in connection with Isurim, where the Torah uses the word Shikhvas Zera. A second one is by Eishes Ish, where the Torah says you're not allowed to have relations with an Eishes Ish, in last week's parasha. And then by a sota, v'shochav ish oisa shichvas zera. Then it creates a problem of sota. There is actually at least one other place by the dinim of that by the dinim that people become that a couple becomes tameh if they have relations. Also, the Torah there uses the word shichvas zera, but there it's more obvious why, because in fact they're not going to be tameh unless zera was emitted. But in these cases, an aishas ish becomes also. And the Mrs. Bastin is involved, even if there was no emission of Zera, and the same thing by the other two. So why did the Torah say it, and why does it say it by all three of them? Why can't we learn one from the other? So the reason is like this: the Shivcha Harufa Kedamaran. The one for Shivcha Harufa, as we said, in fact, that one is an exception to the general rule, where usually it would need to be where usually Hara is enough. But here, in order for him to be chayav the korban, the special korban asham, asham shivcha harufa, there has to have been gmar bia. Then the eishes ish. Why does it specify by the Torah loisitin shchav tochal zora? When of course even less than that, hara, even when there's no emission of zera, is enough to make her osir and for the missus based in to kick in, etc. So that would be praplam shamish mess. Says Rava, that comes to tell us that it excludes the case where he has relations with her with a limp organ. So in Gemara terminology, when the aver is erect, when he has kishui, is called chai, is called alive, and when it's limp, it's called mace. So if he does that, it's limp, but and he forces it in, then we're saying that there's no missus based in and doesn't answer her to her husband, etc. Because it says shichvas zera, implying the kind of lying together that could conceivably result in zera, and this won't. So the Gemara says honichal mando omer meshamish mes v'arayis vater. Well, there is in fact a machloekas about that. That works out according to the opinion that in fact that sort of thing is potter. But there is an opinion in the Gemara and Sanhedrin that even if the aver is limp, then he's still chayev, because the fact is there was the contact of his aver with hers. So then my ikalamemar. So according to that, why would it say shichvas zera by ishes ish? So ella praplam shamish meisa. So rather we can say that the word shichvas zera comes to 10. And by the way, once we have this, however, whatever it is that we're learning from Shichvas Zera, we're going to learn from it to all the other arayas again, because we had previously the Hekesh that we said, Hukshu Kol Arayas, Zela Zeh. So we're going to say that all of them have the same thing in common. So the same way as by an Eishes Ish, so it would be also by all the other arayas that according to the first opinion, he's not Chayev if the Aver was limp. But now we're saying, what about according to the opinion that he is in fact Chayev for that? So Ela Prakam Shamash Mesa. So rather, what we're saying is it comes to exclude the case where she is dead. And here, the word mesa means in the simple sense. It means that she's no longer living. And then he's mizana with her corpse. The Gemara elsewhere calls this mesa hurdus. Tosfos refers to over here. The Gemara elsewhere calls this mesa hurdus because the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Bava Basra that Hurdus had originally been a slave of the Hashmonaim. His entire nation, the Edomim, had been made in slaves and forcibly converted by Yochanan Kohen Gadol a couple of generations earlier. So now he wiped out the whole family of the Hashmonaim, but he had pretensions to that he wanted everybody to accept him as a legitimate king. So he took a girl from the family of the Hashmonaim and said he was going to marry her in order that way his children at least would have some blood relation to the Hashmonaim. She, the Gemara says, threw herself off a roof in order not to do that. And the Gemara brings an opinion over there in Bava Basra that he kept the body around, preserved it, and continued to use it for his gratification. So the Gemara calls that kind of thing Maisa Hurdus. So obviously it's a very disgusting thing to do, but we're saying that if he does that, he's not Chayav Misa or Malkus or what have you. That's what we're learning from Shichvas Zera. So now why do we need a Pasuk to be telling us that? The Sakad Adachamina, without the Pasuk telling us, you would think, Hoyol Acham Misa Nami Ikri She'eroi. After all, a woman, even after she dies, is considered her husband's she'er, is considered her husband's relative, in the sense that, for example, so we say in Parshas Emor, that a Kohen is not allowed to become Tomei for most people, with the exception of his close relatives, and one of those relatives is she'eroi, meaning his wife. By definition, we're talking about after she died, and we see that she's still being called she'eroi. So, Eima l'chayev ala be'eshes tish, so you would think then that if she's dead and then he takes the body and uses it for Maisa Hurdus, maybe he should still be chayim the penalties for having relations with an Eishas Ish. Kamash Malon, that is why, according to that opinion, is why the Torah is using the word Shichvas Zera to tell us otherwise. So one or the other of those things, or both, is what we're learning from the word Shichvas Zera, from the word Loisit and Shchav to Chalazara by an Eishas Ish. What about the Soto Lamali? By the Soto, where it says V'shachav Ish Oisa Shichvas Zera, what is that coming to tell us? So look at the Tanya. We use that to teach us what it says in a Braisa. When it says Shichvas Zera Prat L'Dover Acher, means as opposed to that when the Pasuk says that she was in seclusion with this guy, and we're saying there's a possibility that there may have been Shichvas Zera, then we're saying that she's also to her husband, and then she has to drink the soda water, etc. So the Braisa says the word Shichvas Zera means prat l'dover acher, as opposed to dover acher. So we have to figure out my dover acher. What do we mean by that? Amar Rav Sheshes prat l'shkini lo shaloi kedarcha. It comes to exclude, says Rav Sheshes, where he warned her shaloi kedarcha, which means Rashi says two explanations. One is that it means that he suspects her of engaging in relations shaloi kedarcha, and in particular with this guy. So he's warning her alti susrim ish poini. And we know for whatever reason, let's say we have some way to know that this guy doesn't intend to and never has had relations with her the normal way, kedarka. So when he warns her, alti sasri, mishpoini, then according to Rashi's first explanation, that amounts to saying, specifically, don't have relations with him, shaloi kedarka. So Rav Sheshes says, that wouldn't be considered kinui. The second explanation, Rashi says, is specifically, he says to her, don't seclude yourself with him in order to have relations, shaloi kedarka. So in any case, Rav Sheshes is saying, according to you, of those explanations, that's not considered kinui, and therefore, if afterwards she's alone with this guy, then she doesn't become a sota. Amalei Rava, but Rava says, how can you say that? The fact is, mishkevei isha ksim. The Pasuk says that the Pasuk mentions the word mishkevei isha in connection with a male, from which we learn that shnei mishkavis beisha. We learn that there's two ways with a woman that can be considered mishkav, that are considered bia, and both of them, for almost all purposes in halacha, are considered identical in terms of their effects, in terms of misa or malchus or chatas, etc. So even according to either explanation, if he warned her generically, and we know that the warning is meant to apply shaloi kedarcha, or if he warned her specifically about shaloi kedarcha, either way, that is considered bia al pi halacha, and yes, sir, it should be considered a valid kinnui. Ela, Amar Rava, Prat Meshakina La Derech Eivorim. So Rava says, when it says in the Braisa, Prat La Dover Acher, when it says Shechvas Zera, Prat La Dover Acher, it means, as opposed to when he did the Kinui, Derech Eivorim, he wounds her not to be involved with this guy, involving other parts of her body, other kinds of physical contact, short of contact of the genitals. So let's say, for example, he knows that, let's say he has reason to suspect that his wife is not actually doing bia with this guy, but that they're doing various other kinds of physical contact. So then we're saying if he warns her, don't do that, that's not considered a kinu. So Abaya says, well, why do you even need to say that? Do you think that the Torah is asering only something which is pritzus? Something like that, physical contact, which doesn't involve genital contact, does not in fact make her also to her husband. It's not included in what the Torah says that you're not allowed to have relations with an erva, in this case with an eishes ish. So therefore, obviously, it's not a kinui. The Torah wouldn't be addressing that at all. Now, an interesting point is that Rambam learns that one of the 613 mitzvahs, that Rambam learns from the words loy sikruvu legalis erva, that other kinds of physical contact short of bia are also min haTorah. So according to the Rambam, for example, let's say a man hugs or kisses or touches or whatever a woman who is an erva to him, then already he's over on that lab. There's no chiyuv misa or kores or chatas on it yet, but nevertheless it would be also daraisa. So a couple of the commentaries on the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvah say, what about all Gemara? All Gemara seems to be implying that it's not in fact also min haTorah, because the Abaye says pritzus also rahmana. Is the Torah asking only something which is pritzus? So an answer to that in one of the commentaries on the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvah is called Megillas Esther, where he defends the Rambam against objections by the Ramban and other Rishonim. So he says the Gemara doesn't mean over here that's not also min haTorah. The Gemara just means that it's not enough to aser her to her husband. So therefore, in other words, Abaye is saying, obviously, that's not considered a kinui, because even the fact is, even if we had Edim that saw that she was doing this with somebody else, it wouldn't necessarily be enough to aser her to her husband if we knew for a fact that there was no actual bia. So Abaye says, you can't say the pasuk is excluding that by saying shichlas zera, because obviously, there's no reason to think that that would aser her to her husband. Elo, I'm going to buy prat l'shekina l'b'neshika. So rather, Abaye says, the word prat l'dover acher, the shichvas zera, prat l'dover acher, is coming to exclude when he did kinui regarding neshika. Neshika is the first contact of his eva with her. So now again, that's not enough to be considered bia yet, because even hara, as we're going to discuss now, is one possibility anyway, is that it's a slightly later stage. So again, the point is that such contact already is enough to ask her to her husband, let's assume, but maybe it's definitely more than pritzus. It's definitely something that we would think would ask her to her husband, and therefore we're saying that no, if he's only mekaneh her for that, then that's not enough. It has to be that he's mekaneh her for something which is considered bia in the Torah, and the shika, that first contact, is not yet. Well, the Gemara says, let's consider. So now, what we're going to be discussing in the Gemara now, in the next half an amud, is like this. There are several stages. When we think of it, there are several stages of bia. You have, to begin with, there's neshika, the first contact of the tip of his aver with hers. Then you have, the next part is called hachnosas atara, where he sticks in the atara. Rashi over here defines that the atara is what's called in English the glands. It's the upper part of the aver, which is softer than the rest of it. It has a different texture. Earlier in the Masechta, when we talked about the dinim of Bris Milah, for a ger, Rashi defined over there the atara as what's called in medicalese, in English, is called the corona, namely the ridge around, the ridge from which the glands begins, which surrounds the aver, and from there it slopes upward, and from there you have the atara. Here Rashi is defining the atara as the glands as a whole. Anyway, so then you have that second stage where the atara goes in. Then the third thing is putting in the entire aver, which is usually what we think of as gemar bia. And then you also have the fourth thing would be where Zera comes out. So now we're going to be discussing these various stages. So we're saying if he was mechanic for her specifically about the first stage, about Neshika, then Abaye is saying that's what the pasuk is excluding. By Shichvas Zera, that's not enough. Where afterwards, if she secludes herself with this guy, where that should be enough to answer her misafik that she may have been mizana, that's not enough because that's not considered bia in halach. Well, the Gemara says Hanichalam under Omaha Araz Rachnasa Satara. Well, we actually have two opinions. When we said in our Mishnah that Ha'ara is considered Bia in the Torah, there are actually two opinions what the definition of Ha'ara is. So one opinion is that Ha'ara refers to sticking in the Atara, the glands going in. Well, then you can say that, fine, so Neshika is not at that point yet. So that would fit with what Abaya is saying. Neshika is not enough yet to be considered Bia in Halacha. Only the second stage, Hachnasas Atara, is. And therefore, so we'd be saying that if he warned her, don't do Neshika with this guy, then that's not considered a Kinui. Elam under Omazun Neshika. But we have another opinion. We're going to discuss both opinions in the next few lines of the Gemara. There's an opinion that Hara itself means Neshika, means that initial contact. Well, then my Ikalamema, then what are you going to say? According to that opinion, as soon as Neshika takes place, then Hara has taken place. Therefore, she is already also to her husband, and the Mrs. Bastin and the Chatas and so forth kick in. So then what are you going to say? What are we excluding by Dover Acher? What are we excluding from the word Shichvat Zera by a Sota? So the answer is Ela La'olam L'Shekinah L'Derech Evarim. So no, we'll go back to what Rava had explained, that what we're talking about, he was in the Kana for Derech Evarim, that he suspects her of only physical caressing and whatever with this other guy, but not anything approaching Bia, not even Neshika. So we said before, so Abaya said, well, then what's the, so why would we think, according to the Ramban, the Gemara is asking that it's not even awesome in our Torah, it's only awesome in the Rabbanon. And according to the Rambam and Megillas Esther, as he explains the Rambam, we'd be saying, yes, it's awesome in our Torah, but not enough to ask her to her husband. It's only princess. So the Itzrich, we still need it. Otherwise, you would have thought, after all, what's the mechanism of Kinui anyway? The Torah is making it depend on what the husband has been makbid on, because he's makbid, because he's objecting, because he has suspicions on her, and he tells her, don't be alone with this guy, then therefore that's what triggers the whole sota process. So therefore, the hawker copied, here we see he is being makbid on it, because he's specifically telling her not to. So therefore, you would think that in this particular case, maybe derech evorim is enough to make her a sota. Kamash Malan, and therefore we'd be telling you otherwise. In other words, you could say that the average person, not that the average person wouldn't mind it, but the average person wouldn't think to necessarily to be Mekaneh for that. But here, particularly where he did, you would think that maybe that's different, and therefore the Pasuk is saying, even though he is Makbid, then nevertheless not. It's still not considered Kinui, because it was only Derech Evarim, and not approaching anything that equals Bia in Halacha. So now let's get into this discussion further of what Ha'ara is and the various stages of Bia. Omar Shmuel, Ha'ara zu Neshika. So Shmuel says the definition of Ha'ara is Neshika, the first contact of his Eva with her. Now, why is that? He says, on the face of it, nothing has gone in yet. So how could that be considered Bia? It's like, imagine a person puts his finger on his lips. Even the gentlest touch with his finger, inevitably he's going to be pressing in the flesh slightly because the lips are soft. Well, Shmuel is saying the same thing applies in Oisei Makim, the same idea. As soon as there's slight contact over there, then already inevitably there's a microscopic dimple or entry over there, and therefore that can be considered to be. However, the Gemara continues, Ki osa Rabba Ba'ochana Amar Rabbi Yechanan. However, let's see if what he's saying is fitting with what we just said. So he also Rabba Baba Chana Amar Rabbi Yechanan. When Rabba Baba Chana came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Gmar Bia the Shivcha Harufa. Now, we said before, Shivcha Harufa is a special case where a person is not chayev for Ha'ara, he's not chayev the korban for Hara only. We said maybe he's Chayiv Malkus already because there's an issue in the Torah for him to have relations with a Shivcha. But in terms of the Oshem that he has to bring, that's only with Gmar Bia. Well, Rabbi Baba Chana says, Zuach Nosa Sat Torah, Gmar Bia for that purpose would refer to having the entire, to putting in the Atorah, to putting in the glands. Mosiv Rav Sheshes, but Rav Sheshes says, I have a contradiction. We said, a Braisa says that when it says Shichvas Zera, that when it says regarding the Shivcha Harufa, it says the word Shichvas Zera, and we said that's meant to make an exception that that one is different than all the other Arayas in the Torah. The Braisa says, Eine Chayev El Al Biras El Al Bias Hamiruk. He's only Chayev, the Korban, only for Bia of Miruk, which means completion. So Rashi says Miruk means Shemazria, that he produces seed. There are actually two possible ways of understanding Rashi and different Rishonim discuss. Does it mean that he only chayev actually if he emitted Zera? Or does it mean that he's only chayev if he went all the way in where there it's possible for there to be emission of Zera and for her to become pregnant with it? So Rashi just says, Miruk Shemazria, that could be taken either way. It means Miruk, that he actually produces Zera, or it could mean Miruk, where he's in the position to produce Zera. Tosfos clearly says that he's Chayev even without Hetzos Zera, it just has to be Ru'uya Lazria. A different Rishonim discussed, there are a couple of Rishonim who learn like the first way, that means with the Shivcha Harufa, he's only Chayev actually if he emitted Zera, and then there were others who learn more like Tosfos, that he's chayev even as long as there was Gmar Bia, even if there was no Zera. In any case, the Braisa is saying, Bia Sam Miruk, my lav Miruk Gid. Now on the face of it, the word Miruk means completion, so it means the completion of the Gid, meaning that the Gid is all the way in, and or that there was Zera, but not only Atara. I mean, when it says, Loi, Miruk Atara. Not necessarily. You could understand that the Braisa means Miruk, means completely sticking in the Atara, in other words, as opposed to only partially. On the other hand, he also of Dimi Amar Rabbi Yechanan. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he also reported in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Ha'ara zu Hachnosas HaTorah. He reported that no, Hachnosas HaTorah is what's called Ha'ara, not, and therefore that would imply that that doesn't work by a Shivcha Harufa to make him Chayav the Korban, because by Shivcha Harufa, we said there has to be something more than that. There has to be something, there has to be Bias Amiru. So Omru Lei, so they asked Rav Dimi, Rabba Baba Chana Lei Omahachi, how could you say that? Didn't Rabba Baba Chana say differently that only when he does that when he does Achnasa Satara, then he's Chai of the Korban, whereas according to you, he's not, because according to you, Achnasa Satara is only Ha'ara, and that doesn't make him Chai by the Shivcha Harufa, yeah? Omalahu. So Rav Dimi says, Rav Dimi says, okay, Oi Ihu Shakroi, Oi Ano Shakri. Evidently, either he's lying or I'm lying. In other words, one of us obviously misunderstood Rabbi Yochanan. You want to go figure out which one? Go ahead. As far as I know, my version is correct and his is incorrect. But you, if you want to argue the other way around, then go ahead. There's a Rashi in Ksubas that bears on this. Usually, we say Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, but Rashi explains over there that when you have two Amiroyim who argue clearly about what a previous Amora said, and one of them says explicitly one thing and the other explicitly something else, where there's no way to reconcile them, then it means of necessity one of them must have made a mistake, which is effectively what Dimi is saying over here. In other words, when we try to reconcile, maybe what he said can be taken in two different ways or whatever, but here it seems pretty clear. Says Rav Dimi, there's really no way to reconcile my version and Rav Baba Chana's version, and therefore, fine, you'll have to decide for yourselves which one is correct. Okay, so then the Gemara says, he also Robin, Am Rabbi Yechanan Ha'araz Rachnas Zatara. When Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that Ha'araz means Rachnas Zatara, which means that he buttressed, that he reinforced what Rav Dimi had said. Well, the Gemara says, let's see. So now we have several different opinions. So Adrava Baba Chana Vadei Polig. There's no question, obviously, that Robin and Rav Dimi are arguing with Rava Baba Chana. We said clearly one of them has to be misunderstanding Rav Yechanan. Is it because, again, by Shivcha Harufa, Hara is not enough to make him Chayav the Korban, only Gmar Bia is, and according to Rava Baba Chana's version, Achnasa Satara is enough for that, whereas according to the Abdimi and Robin, it's not. Because according to them, Achnasas HaTorah is only Ha'ra, is only the first stage of Bia, and that wouldn't be enough for him to bring the Korban. So, Adishmuel mi lema polig, do we have to necessarily say that Rav Dimi and Robin are necessarily disagreeing with Shmuel, where Shmuel said that even Nishika is already considered Ha'ra, even an earlier stage, even before the HaTorah has been put in? And the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. In other words, do we have to say that they're arguing that Shmuel would say Neshika is Hara? Necessarily, presumably, that requires him to say that Hachnosas HaTorah is Gmar Bia. Or maybe Robin and Shmuel are saying the same thing in different words. And the answer is, yes, we could say that they are. Loim Neshika v'ad Hachnosas HaTorah Hara Korila. You could say that from Neshika until Achnasas HaTorah is all, both Shmuel and Robin would say that is all in the category of Ha'ra. Only after you get past the HaTorah, only then are we talking about Gmar Bia. Now, another statement in this connection. Ki osir of Shmuel by Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yechanan. When of Shmuel by Yehuda came from Eretz Yisrael, then he said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Ha'ra zu achnasa satara. The definition of Ha'ra is achnasa satara. Anything less than that is neshika, and as the Gemara is going to say, is of no consequence. Gmar bia means gmar bia mamish. When we say by a shivcha harufa that there has to be gmar bia, and when we talked about previously that there are certain cases in halacha where you do need gmar bia, for example, we mentioned a Tosfos that referred to something in kedushin where if a man is mekadesh bia, then it needs to be gmar bia. So gmar bia means gmar bia mamish, means exactly what you would think as gmar bia, where the entire aver is in. Mikan ve'elach, but anything less than that, less than achnasas HaTorah, it's funny, the word mikan ve'elach usually means from then on, implying a later stage, but here we're using it actually to mean an earlier stage. Eina ela neshika, anything less than achnasas HaTorah is considered only neshika or potter aleha, so he would be potter from it from this is based in, or kodesh, so what have you. So necessarily, therefore, if Shmuel by Yehuda is disagreeing with Shmuel, because Shmuel clearly said that Ha'ra is Neshika, whereas he's saying that Neshika is not even Ha'ra yet. An interesting point in this also is the Taz discusses the point that when you look at the shape of the Atara, however you define the Atara, whether you define it as the corona or the gland, you notice it slopes on one side of the aver versus the other. On the upper side of the aver, it's far away from the tip. But then at the other end, it slopes and it comes close to the tip. So the Taz says on that basis, it means that even putting in part of the Atara would already be enough according to this definition for him to be chayev. After all, at that point of it, you already have Atara. On the other hand, the Beis Shmuel on Shulchan Aruch over there, one of the major Noisei Kelim on Eben Ezer, disagrees and says that no, you can't necessarily say that. It would have to be where the entire Atara, all sides of it, goes in. The fact that it slopes more on one side versus the other doesn't mean anything. One more thing worth mentioning in this connection, Reb Moshe deals with in a tshuva of his with a case of a Jewish girl who had a goyish boyfriend, but she never actually let him do bia with her. The closest they ever came is at one point he wanted to, but she wouldn't let him. She kept her legs closed tightly, and the most he could do is sort of rub the length of his aver along the outside of her body. And the question later on, this girl became a balas tshuva and was in and met a kohen and was going to get married to him. The question is she mutter to? And Reb Moshe Paskin that she is, that in this case, since there was no contact, Reb Moshe goes into a little bit into the physiology of it, and he explains that based on the way the case was described, there's no way that even the tip of his aver could have touched anywhere as far as her aver tashmish, and therefore that it can't be considered bia. Therefore, she's not also to a kohen. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, echad ma'arav echad goymer kona. We said that when it comes to a yavam, whether he just did ha'ara, however, whatever ha'ara is, as we just discussed the definition, or whether he did gmar bia, then he's koina, then he acquires her as his wife. So my kona, the Gemara asks, in what sense is he acquiring her? Rav amar kona lakol, Rav says it means that he's koina her as far as for all purposes, meaning that even though, first of all, by the way, now what we're going to be dealing with over here in the Gemara is called bia grua, meaning it's not a complete bia. There's something missing. So there is a machlokas rishonim. What kind of bia grua are we referring to over here in our Gemara? On the face of it, the caption that we had here, echad ma'arav, echad ha'gomer, means that we're talking about ha'ara. So the question is, if he did only ha'ara, then to what extent is that koine? On the other hand, the Rif and some other Rishonim learn, and Tosfos seems to say the same thing, that it means that we're talking about, we're not talking about as far as ha'ara versus marbia, we're talking about where our Mishnah said that it works bein b'shoigig, bein b'mezid, bein b'oines, bein b'rotin, etc. So when it's done b'oines, or b'shoigig, then that would be considered a bia grua because he didn't have intention to be koinaher. The Rambam actually learns like both. The Rambam says that the dinim that we're going to be talking about in our sugya apply whether there was only ha'ara or whether we're talking about that there was marbia, but it was ba'onis or b'shoigig or what have you. So Rav Amakona Lakoil, so Rav says that he's koina for all purposes, even though it was a bia grua for all purposes. So for example, if he's a koyin, then if he's a koyin and the Yavama is a Bas Yisrael, then right away she's allowed to start eating truma, even if before he had a chance to do, even if he left town before he did Bia Gemura, before he did Gmar Bia, nevertheless, the fact that he did Hara, Rav says is enough that she's considered his wife to the extent where she can eat truma. Shmuel says that no, with this Bia Grua, whether we mean Hara, or whether we mean oynas, or whether we mean oynas or shoygig, or both, as the Rambam says. So he's only koina ela ledvarim ha'amurim b'parasha, only regarding the things that it says right there in the parasha of Yibum. Because we learned before that Yavama Yavai Aleha teaches us that any kind of bia, as long as he had intention for bia, is valid, even if it was b'shoygig or b'oynas or what have you. So fine, Shmuel says that's as far as we can take that. So therefore, as far as the things that it mentioned there, lirash b'nichse achiv, namely that he inherits his brother's property, her first husband, or the poitur mei yibum, and to pater her from Yibum, meaning, in other words, that so Reuven, her first husband, died childless, and Shimon, his brother, did Yibum with her. Now Shimon has children of his own, whether with her, whether with another wife. Then he dies, so now she's pater from Yibum with Levi, because now she's widowed from a husband who had children. So even though, again, so no, it has to be that he didn't have children with her, because again, we're talking about he only did Hadra. So even though he doesn't have children with her, but it doesn't matter. He had children with another wife, let's say. So the fact that he did only Hara and then died is enough that now she's potter from Yibum, because the Hara is considered Bia for that purpose. But not, says Shmuel, as far as other purposes. For example, if he's a Kohen, for her to eat Truma wouldn't work. And Shmuel is saying for other purposes as well. For example, that he wouldn't, if he's a Kohen also, he wouldn't be able to become Tomei for her yet. In fact, Tosfos points that out, that he wouldn't Yaushin her, he's not considered her husband yet for that purpose, until he does Gmar Bia, he doesn't become Tomei for her, he can't be made for her Nedarim. So that's what Shmuel says. So the Gemara explains, Mina Nisuin, now, if she was widowed from Nisuin, meaning that she was fully married to the first husband, and then she died, and then he died, and then his brother did Yibum with her, then Ladivre Hakol Ochwa. Even Shmuel is going to agree that now once the Yavam did Hara with her, then already she can start eating Truma again, because Dehahavas Ka'achla Me'ikra. Because after all, she was eating Truma beforehand. She was allowed to when she was married to the first brother who was a Kohen, because as we're going to discuss extensively in the next 15 or so blocks of our Masechta, a Kohen's wife is allowed to eat Truma. So therefore, when she was, now what it is like this, Midaraisa, even once they do the Erusin, she's allowed to eat Truma. Because the Torah tells us, next week's parasha, the Kohen ki yikna nefesh kinyan kaspoi, that if a Kohen acquires a person with money, that for example, an Eved, then that Eved is allowed to eat Truma. Kiddushin is the same thing, because Kiddushin he acquired with Kesef, or at least one way of Kiddushin is with Kesef. So Midaraisa should be able to eat Truma during the Erusin. The Chachamim made a Gzeira that not, because the Gemara tells us in Ksubas, because she might during the period of the Erusin, she's still living at home. Her family and her siblings are all Yisraelim. So she may accidentally take some truma and eat it, and they're going to eat or drink it after her, and then they're going to be over on eating truma as Zorim. So therefore, the Chachamim made the rule that only once Nisuin has taken place, we're there, now she's living in her husband's house, now she's allowed to eat truma. So now what we're saying is like this. So if she was fully married, so she was able to eat truma because of her first husband, then we're saying, fine, her first husband died. At that point, she had to stop eating truma. But now that Yibum was done, then even if the Yibum was only a beer grower, it was only Hara, then fine, we're still going to say that she can eat truma, even according to Shmuel. Dohavas kachlam ikra. After all, she was eating truma beforehand. So therefore, so now even a bia grua is enough to allow her to start eating truma again. Ki pligi mina erusin. The machoikas would specifically be if she was only in the stage of erusin with her first husband, where at that point, midrabanan, she wasn't eating truma yet because of that zera. So, Rav Amar Echelas, Rav says she can still eat truma at that point once Hara has been done by the Yavam, Dohar Rabbi Rahman be a Shogig Kemezid. Because after all, the Torah tells us that Shogig is just like Mezid, is just as good as Mezid in terms of being Koina her. So therefore, she's Kinyan Kaspar again, and therefore the Yibum has fully taken effect. Therefore, she can eat truma. Or Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says no. Ki Rabbi Rachmana, when is the Torah being marbe, l'ukme b'mokim ba'al, that it tells us that the Yavam takes over where the husband left off. La'alumi mi ba'aloi, but not to make him stronger than the husband. If the husband had only done, since the husband, the first husband, did only kiddushin with her, and at that point, she's still also to eat truma because of the Zeta de Rabbanan. We're not going to say that because now she did that because of Yibum and because of a Bia Grua of Yibum, then therefore that she should, however we define Bia Grua, whether we mean there was a lack of Das or whether we mean that it was only Hara, either way, that's not going to be strong enough to make it to, after all, even by Chuppah, you need Gmar Bia. So therefore, Shmuel says you can't say that the Yavam's position should be stronger than the husband's. The husband, if he did the first husband, if he did bia v'shoigig or ba'onus or whatever, he wouldn't be koina her as his wife with chuppah because you need das for that. And maybe hara is not enough. Maybe you need gmar bia. So you can't say the Yavam is stronger than that. And the Gemara says, but as the Shmuel of Taimei, Shmuel is going according to his own svara. The Amr of Nachman Omar Shmuel. Whenever the husband is able to make it that because of him his wife can eat truma, then the yavam could as well. But if the husband can't, then the yavam can't either. Namely, we're talking about this kind of bia grua. The Gemara says, "Maybe though I have a contradiction." A brisa says, "Bas Yisrael pikachas." If a Bas Yisrael, so she's not a Bas Koyin, she's Pikachas, she's normal, and she's able, Pikeach, in Gemara terminology, means that she's able to speak, or that she's able to hear and speak, or really even one or the other is enough for her to be considered a Pikeach. The opposite of Pikeach is Cheresh, is a deaf mute who can't hear and can't speak, where throughout Shas, we assume that such a person has less than normal intelligence. So she is Arsal Koyin Pikeach, she became mu'ureses to a koyan who was pikeach also. So far so good. But v'lehispik a koyan sa'ad shenischaresh, before he had a chance to do the nisuin, he became a cheresh, and now his chuppah is not going to be considered a valid chuppah for reasons that the Gemara is going to discuss further down on the Amud. We're going to say that his chuppah is that his nisuin is not a valid nisuin because of a gzeira d'rabbanan on his kiddushin, which we're going to get to further down on the Amud. So she's not able to eat truma because again the cheresh can't have any das to be koina her with the bia, and therefore so she remains in effect an arusa. And an arusa, we said, can't eat truma. On the other hand, continues the braisa, mess. But if this first husband the cheresh dies, the nafla lifnei yavam cheresh. And she falls to Yibum to a brother of his who is also a cheresh, a chelas. Then she is able to eat truma on the basis of his bia, because so what that he doesn't have das, doesn't matter. We said you don't need das for the bia of a yavama, bein b'shogeg, bein b'onus, etc. It's still koina. And the braisa says uvezu yofa koyach yavam mikoyach baal. So it comes out in this regard that the yavam has a stronger power than the husband does. So b'shleim l'rav nicha. So according to Rav, we understand that's exactly what we're saying. The yavam's bia, we don't care how garua it is, as long as it meets the minimum definition of bia in halacha, then it's enough that she's allowed to eat truma, and that's what we have over here, because he's a cheresh, even though his bia lacks das, doesn't matter. Ella the Shmuel Kasha, but how would Shmuel understand it? Shmuel, who said that that the bia of a yavam is not kona for all purposes unless it was the das, and here he doesn't have das. The answer is Amalach Shmuel, Eimahachi. So Shmuel says, okay, you have to correct the braisa and say what it means is v'lo hispik v'koin sa'ad she nischarish. So the first part again was that before between the erusin and the nisuin with the first husband, he became a cheresh. So eino echelus v'truma. Then she can't eat truma. But on the other hand, let's stick in a part that's missing from the braisa. If he married her, if he did nisuin and had relations with her, and then he became a cheresh, or cheles, then she can still continue to eat truma, because at that point, the fact that he became a cheresh is neither here nor there. They already did bia, they already did gmar bia, they already did a bia, a perfect kind of bia, which makes her his wife for the purposes of eating truma. The fact that he became a cheresh afterwards doesn't matter. Now the Braise would be saying, says Shmuel, mes v'nafla lifne yavam cheresh echeles. If he dies and then she comes to a yavam with a cheresh, then she can continue to eat. Because as Shmuel said before, once there was nisuin with her first husband and she was able to eat truma on that basis, then yes, Shmuel says, I agree that even though the yavam's bia is a bia grua, nevertheless, that doesn't take away the fact that she's still continued to, she's allowed to continue eating truma. So now, umay bezu. So what does the braisa mean that in this regard the yavam is stronger than the husband? So he means the ilu baal cheresh meikra lo yecheles. What it means is if her first husband had been a cheresh to begin with, then that wouldn't be enough for her to eat truma, because his kedushin wouldn't be valid kedushin, or his nisuin wouldn't be valid nisuin. Or the ilu yavam cheresh meikra ahva. Whereas when the yavam is cheresh even to begin with, even when she first falls to yibum to him, then she is able to eat. But not Shmuel saying that if there was only erusin with the first husband, then we're saying the yavam's position is stronger. No, only if there was nisuin with the first husband, and the braisa is contrasting how it would have been if the husband had been a cheresh at the time of the nisuin versus when the yavam is a cheresh at the time of the yavam. Okay, so all of that is one version of this machloikas Rav and Shmuel. The ikadamri, another version, the machloikas goes like this. Mina erusin devrahakaloi ochla, if she was widowed from erusin, then even Rav would agree she can't eat truma. Because after all we said, she didn't eat truma while her husband was alive, and you can't say that the yavam is stronger than that. So according to the second version, Rav would agree with Shmuel in that case of erusin. The machlokas would be if she was widowed after nisuin. Rav omar echelas. So Rav says she can continue to eat truma on the basis of the yavam's bia grua. Daha havas achla meikra. Because after all, she was able to eat truma beforehand. So the fact that her husband had a strong enough relationship with her that was cemented by nisuin for her to be able to eat truma. Now the fact that she fell to yibum, and the yavam did at least a bia grua, which is considered bia in halacha, is enough for her to be able to resume eating truma. Or Shmuel ama ena echeles, whereas Shmuel says she can't because ki Rabbi Rachmana bia shtregin kamezid, because he says, what is the Torah adding by saying by a yavam that shogig is just as good as mezid is only the dvarim amrin b'parasha, only regarding the things that it says that it says in the parasha of yibum, but not for any aval chom miloy, but not for all other purposes. So the question is, in that case, according to the second version, so according to the first version, Shmuel agrees there is a case where a bia grua will allow her to eat truma, namely where there was nisuin beforehand. Now in the second version, he's saying that a bia grua never allows her to eat truma. Well, the question is, v'al amar of Nachman amar Shmuel, didn't we quote before that Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, Kol Shabal Machil Yavam Machil, whenever the husband is able, that he has the power for his wife to be able to eat truma, then the Yavam can as well. Presumably that means that if the husband had nisuin with her, the first husband, and now it comes to Yibum, then also she's able to. So that fits according to Rav, that doesn't fit according to Shmuel. The answer is Ema Kol Bia Shabal Machlava Yovam Machlava. Okay, you have to fix up the Braisa, not the Braisa, you have to fix up the statement of Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel and say what he meant was any kind of Bia where the husband would be able on the basis of that his wife can start eating truma, namely that it has to be Gemar Bia, that it has to be Berotzen, not for Onus or Rishogig, etc. So then Yovam Machlava, then the Yovam can do the same thing. But if it's a kind of beer, if it's a beer grower where the husband doesn't give enough power for the husband to make his wife able to eat shuma, then neither would the yavam. So therefore, nothing to do with erusin versus nisuin, but rather to do that a beer grower is not allowing the husband that doesn't give the wife the ability to eat truma, because in effect there was erusin, there wasn't yet nisuin, there wasn't yet chuppah, which requires gemar bia and which requires das, and the same thing with the yavam, says Shmuel. Okay, so the Gemara says maybe there are a contradiction. The Braisa that we quoted before, Bas Yisrael Pikachas Shenis Arusa L'Koyin Pikeach, if a Bas Yisrael who's normal and healthy and able to hear and speak is Me'ureses to a Koyin who's also a Pikeach, V'loy Hispik L'Koyin Sa'ad Shenis Charesh, before he has a chance to do Nisuin, he becomes a Charesh. Then his chuppah is not a valid chuppah. Eina Icheles, then she can't eat Truma because in effect she's still an Arusa. Mess v'nafal lifnei yavam cheresh, but if he dies and she falls to yibum to a yavam who's also cheresh, oicheles, then she's able to eat truma. Ubezir yafak koyach yavam mikoyach baal. And we said in that sense the yavam is better off than the baal. So in the first lashon, we said that Shmuel would say you can add in a phrase in the braisa and say that we're talking about if the husband did nisuin with her and then there was yibum. But now in the second version, Shmuel is saying there's no difference whether there was nisuin or not. So b'shleimel Rav mataritz k'detoritz mikra. So Rav could answer the Braisa like we did in the first version according to Shmuel, that the Braisa is distinguishing between whether there was erusin with the first husband or nisuin. Elo l'shmuel kasha. But according to Shmuel, this Braisa would be a kasha, because according to him, there's no difference either way, as long as the chuppah was not a valid chuppah, as long as the bia was a bia grua, then she's not able to eat truma. So how would he understand that? So the Gemara says, okay, kasha, you're right. According to him, that braisa would be a kasha. As usual, it means not a tiyuvda. We haven't completely shlugged him up, but we would have to find some way of fa'enferin the braisa according to him. Okay. So now we're going to continue on this topic of... Now we're going to continue on this topic of eating truma, really actually from now until about that pay, we're really not going to be talking anymore about, for the most part, we're going to be talking very little about dinim of yibum. For the most part, we're going to be dealing with other things involving erusin and nisuin. We're going to start to most of the time, the discussion is going to be about the dinim of a Kohen's wife or of a Kohen's wife eating truma when she's not allowed. That's going to take us until the next mission over here. After that, we're going to talk about various other dinim about Kohenim marrying women, and then in the next parak we're going to go back to this matter of Kohen's wife eating truma and continue from there. Only around daf pei or so are we going to get back to dinim of yibum and chalitza. So the Gemara says, we learn in a braisa, bas yisroel pikachas genis arusel kohen pikeach. If again we said a bas yisroel who's normal, who's not a chershes, was nisaris to a kohen pikeach, to a kohen who's also pikeach, v'loy hispik l'kohen sa'ad shenisharish, and we said before he had a chance to do the nisuin and to do the bia, then he became a cheresh. Eina echeles. So we said she's not allowed to eat truma. Again, we said midrabanan, as long as she's an arusa, then she's not allowed to eat truma because we're concerned that she's going to give some to her family. And therefore, the same thing would apply over here, because as a cheresh, she's not really able to do chuppah. Because he has no das. On the other hand, the braisa continues, no the laben, but if she has a son from this husband of hers who's a cheresh, eicheles, then she is able to eat truma because on the basis of the fact that she has a son who's a kohen. As we're going to discuss, as we go through the further in this perek and next perek, we're going to discuss that when a wife of a kohen has a son who is also a kohen, then when her child is able to eat truma, so is she. Even if her husband, even for example, if her husband is dead. So the same thing over here. Even though her husband is a cheresh and he's not able validly al pi halacha to make chuppah with her, but the fact is he is potent and he is able to make her pregnant and have a child. And once she has that child, then she can eat truma because she has a child as a kohen. Mesaben. Now, what happens if that child dies? Rav Nosson Omer Echelas. Rav Nosson says she can still continue to eat truma because her husband is a kohen. B'chamer me'en Echelas, and the Chum say no. So the Gemara says, my time of the Rav Nosson. The Chachamim, we understand easily enough. The only reason she was eating truma, she was able to eat truma, is because she has a son from her husband. No son, no truma. But according to Rav Nosson, why is she able to continue eating? If after all, she's not considered fully married to her husband because her husband is a cheresh and is not capable of doing chuppah. So Amar Rabba, hoylo shekvar ochla. So Rabba says, because she already had been eating and the basis of her son, so therefore she can continue eating now. Amar Abaya, Abaya says, you can't say that just because she was able to before, therefore she's able to now. Elamei Apa, Basi Yisrael, Misses LaKoyen. What happens? A regular case of a Basi Yisrael marries a Koyen, or Misle, and her husband dies and leaves her childless. Pokalek Dushosamina, Techul, would you say that she's able to continue eating Truma Shakvar Ochla? Because she was already eating Truma before? Obviously not. As soon as her husband dies, that relationship is over and she can't eat Truma. Ella, given to Misle Pokalek Dushosamina, obviously, what we have to say is once her husband dies, then his kedusha disappears from her. Now she's back to being a bas yisrael, and she can't eat truma. Hochanami, the same thing over here. When the son dies, kibin de misle poka kedusha semina. The same thing. Once the son dies, the kedusha goes away. So how can you say that because she once had a son from a koyan is reason enough for Rav Nosson to allow her to continue eating truma? Ella, Amar Rav Yosef. So rather, Rav Yosef says, "Kasaver Rav Nosson nisui cheresh ma'achilin b'truma." Rav Nosson holds that nisuin of a cheresh, as long as the kiddushin took place when he was a pikeach, or enough to make her allowed to eat truma. Because like this, we said that minat Torah she'd already be able to eat from the erusin. The whole concept that we say she has to wait till nisuin, until the chuppah, is only midrabanan. Because again, because she might give some to her family. So now, since at the time of the kinyan, since at the time of the kiddushin, he was a ben das, and now he's doing chuppah, and after all, once chuppah, she is living in her husband's house, there no longer exists this concern that she's going to give some truma to her family, to her brothers or sisters or parents or whatever. Then therefore, Rav Nosson says there's no reason to make that gzera. And so he says, we don't make a gzera, says Rav Nosson, that we shouldn't allow her to eat on the basis of the nisuin of the cheresh, because if we do, we might confuse it with the kedushin of a cheresh, and the kedushin of a cheresh definitely are not valid because kedushin requires das. So Rav Nosson holds there's no reason to make such a gzera. The kiddushin of a cheresh sure wouldn't work to make her able to eat truma, but nisuin, given that the whole reason that she can't eat because, until nisuin anyway is only the rabbanon, then here, once there was nisuin, even if those nisuin are not really actually completely valid because he's a cheresh and he doesn't have das, nevertheless, it's enough for her to be able to eat truma. So that's why Rav Nosson is saying that even though her son from the cheresh dies, she can still eat truma, because to begin with, Rav Nosson would say that she was able to eat truma as soon as she did nisuin, as soon as she did chuppah with the cheresh. Amalei Abayas. Abayas says that Ihochi no laben lomali. Then why is the Braisa mentioning the case only where she had a child? According to Rav Nosson, she's allowed to eat truma as soon as chuppah takes place. The answer is Meshum Rabbanon. Okay, because the Chachamim are saying that she can't eat Truma unless she has a child, because according to Chachamim, the Nisuin and the Cheresh are no good. So the question is, Belifli Rav Nosson Alayo B'Reisha, then why isn't Rav Nosson arguing with them in the Reisha? As soon as they say about the case of Loi Hispik L'Koin Sa'ad Shin Ischarash, he says, the Braisa said, Eina Echelas, she can't eat Truma. Right there, Rav Nosson should interject and say, Echelas. Okay, so the Gemara says, Shavik Lohu L'Rabbanon Adem Esayim Milsayu, because he waited until the Chachamim finished their entire statement, V'hadur Poligalayu, and then he jumps in and argues. So it's true, he argues about both cases, but he waited until they said their complete statement. So the Gemara says, Yehochi Lisni Mesa Ben Eina Echelas, Rav Nosson Oymer Echelas. In that case, then at least he should say it after it says, so what does it say? When the sun dies, it says, then it should say the other way around. It should say that the Tanakama should say, and then Rav Nosson would be saying, now that you, Tanakama, now that you, Chachamim, have made your entire statement, that you say there are three parts to your statement, where there was Nisuin, then she can't eat. When there was a sun, she could eat. And when the sun dies, she can't eat again. I say that in all three cases, she could eat. Why is Rav Nosson's opinion coming between the second and the third parts of the Chachamim statement? And the Gemara says, Kasha, you're right, that would be a Kasha of how to understand the Braisa that way. Okay. Now, now going back to our Mishnah, our Mishnah had said, V'chein ha-baal achas mikol ha-arayis. We said the same way as ha-ra is effective by a yuvama, that it makes that the yuvam has taken place. Again, we have the machlokes this Rav and Shmuel just now, whether it's koina for all purposes or whether it's only koina for some purposes, but whatever the case, it is considered bia in halacha. So the Braisa had said the same thing with all the other arayis in the Torah, that once ha-ra was done, then it means that bia was done, and therefore, in particular, the Mishnah goes on to say that, for example, an amon l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyot, etc. So all of those are osur, and all of those there's a chi of malchus, and the woman is possible to marry a kohen, etc. So the Gemara says, Amar of Amram, Ham milsa amalan Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes told us the following statement of halacha. And he enlightened our eyes from our Mishnah. In other words, he showed that our Mishnah backs up what he's saying. So with that, he enlightened our eyes that now we see a new meaning in our Mishnah. Rav Shesha said, Eishis Yisrael Shenansa, the wife of a Yisrael who was raped, even though she remains mutter to her husband, because the Torah tells us in the parasha of Sota that the pasuk says that why is she also to her husband after kinu yastira, because she wasn't grabbed, because she wasn't forcibly violated, then therefore the pasuk is saying that now she's a soita, implying that if she was violated, then she's mutter. So she's mutter to her husband Yisrael, but psula l'kohuna. But Rav Shesha says, nevertheless, she's still possible to marry a kohen. So if her first so she was married to a Yisrael. During the marriage, she was raped. Now, so she's still mutter to her husband, the Yisrael. But if her husband, the Yisrael, dies, then she's also to marry a kohen. That's what Rav Shesha said. The Tana Tuna, and our Tana says the same thing. Rashi says the word Tuna means our Tana. Rashi says the same way as, for example, Avuna means our father, and Ahuna means our brother. The same way Tuna means our Tana. So the Tana Tuna would mean our Tana taught. So he taught in the Mishnah. There are other Rishonim who learn the word v'tana tuna differently, but whatever, it means the same thing. It means that we have a proof from our Mishnah. We said the same way when a man has relations with any of the arayas that it says in the Torah, or if he has relations with the psulois. So my v'chein. Now what does the Mishnah mean when it says v'chein, that it's comparing this to the case of the Yavam and the Yavama? My love, loishna b'shogeg, loishna b'bezid, loishna b'onis, loishna b'rotzin. Apparently, we're comparing as far as the intent, whether it was b'shogeg, b'mezid, etc. V'katoni posla. And the Mishnah is saying that he passels her for corona. So therefore, so that would back up what Rav Sheshes is saying. That even though it was ba'onis, nevertheless, fine, it doesn't answer her to her husband, the Yisrael, but it answers her to a kohen. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily, because you could say, my v'chein, aha ara. No, because you could say that the v'chein refers to the ha'ara. So as soon as ha'ara was done, then she becomes, by somebody who's possible to marry her, then she becomes possible to marry a kohen. So the Gemara says, ha'ara demand. Well, what do you mean? So what are we saying? The same way as it works by Yavama, the same way Ha-Ra works for other purposes. So what do you mean? What kind of Ha-Ra are we talking about? Ilema da'arayas. Are you saying that the Mishnah is saying the same way as Ha-Ra works by a Yavam, the same way Ha-Ra makes an Issu Kores, etc., by Arayas? So what is a so lememra da rayas yafinin miyavama? So what are you telling me? We learn the fact that hara is effective by arayas. We're learning it from yavama. Adarabi yavama yafinin arayas. On the contrary, in the sugya before where we talked about how we know that hara is effective, on the contrary, we said we know it by arayas, and we learn from that to yavama on the basis of gzeira shava. The ikka hara by arayas. After all, where does it say the concept of hara? It says it by arayas. So the Mishnah, in that case, the Mishnah would be backwards. The Mishnah is telling us that the Mishnah then would be telling us, if it's referring to Hara, the same way as it works by Yavama, the same way it's effective and creates a Chiyuv Kores by Arayas, but it's the other way around. The Pasuk says it by Arayas. So the Mishnah would be backwards. Ela mai v'chein ha-shaloika darka d'arayas. So no, you could say that maybe the v'chein of the Mishnah, you still don't have to say that the Bechein is referring to B'shoigig, B'mezid, etc., which would then support Rav Sheshes's point, not necessarily, maybe the Bechein is referring to the Shaloi Kedarka, Darayas. Maybe the Mishnah is saying the same way as Shaloi Kedarka is effective when it comes to Yibum, and it makes her his wife, the same way it's effective by the Arayas, and it creates a Chiyuv Kores, or Chiyuv Chatos, or whatever. So the Gemara says again, again, the word mishkeve isha, which is where we learn the concept that shaloi kedarka is effective, it says that by arayas, and only there, only from there, do we learn that it applies to other areas in the Torah. So that can't be either. Elamai v'chein ashaloi kedarka dechayve lavin. So, however, we can answer, though, that the Bechein in the Mishnah is not necessarily referring to Ba'onis, B'shoigig, etc., but rather it's referring to the Shaloi Kedarka when it comes to Chayve Lavin, where, after all, only by Kores and Nisas Basin, only by Arayas, does it say the concept of Mishkevei Isha, from which we learn that Shaloi Kedarka is effective. It never says that anywhere by Chayve Lavin, for example, a Koyan marrying a Grusha. So then the Mishnah needs to tell us the same way as by Yavama, Shaloi Kedarka is effective. And we said we learned that from Sukkim over there where it says, Wakocha lo isha v'yivma, the same way by Yisurei Lavin, the same way Bia Shaloi Kedarka is considered Bia, and it makes her possible to marry a Kohen. So not necessarily, after all, is Rav Sheshes's proof from our Mishnah of his din of Eishes Yisrael Shenensa, not necessarily is that implied in our Mishnah, because maybe our Mishnah is just implying that the same din that applies to as Shaloi Kedarka by Yavama applies to Isurei Kahuna, to a Grusha, Lekoyin, the Grusha Vachalutza, Lekoyin Hedyot, etc., but not necessarily is the Mishnah implying that the same way as Ba'onis is effective by Yavama, the same way it would be effective to make a woman also to marry a Kohen, not necessarily. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rava, so in this connection, Rava says, or on the side here, it's supposed to be Rava, Ashes Koyan Shenensa, a wife of a Koyan who was raped by the Loika Ala Mishum Zoyna. Her husband, if he continues to have relations with her afterwards, gets Malkus for the fact that she's a Zoyna. So Rashi explains the word Zoyna means that she had relations while she's still with somebody else, while she's still married to her husband. Now, in this case, when it's a Koyan, the Torah doesn't distinguish between whether it was Ba'onis or not, only by Yisrael is there that distinction. Therefore, so now she's considered a Zoyna, and therefore her husband would get Malkus for that, because a Kohen is not allowed to have relations with a Zoyna. So the Gemara says, Mishum Zoyna ain Mishum Tumaloi. So what are you telling me? He's only Chayev on the grounds that she's a Zoyna? Isn't there also the fact that she's Tomei, and that alone is reason to give him Malkus? And the Gemara says, you're right, Ema Ach Mishum Zoyna. You're right, we mean that he's going to get double Malkus, one for the fact that she was Tomei, and one for the fact that she's and one for the fact that she's a Zoyna. But the Gemara says, Mosi Reb Zera says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Behi loinis sposa asura. A Braisa says that when by the Soita it says that if she wasn't grabbed, then she's also to her husband as a Soita, implying honi sposa muteris, implying if she was grabbed, she was raped, then she is muta to her husband. But but then you have another case where even though nisposa, she is also, Ve'ezu Zu'eshes Koyen. Namely, the wife of a Kohen. So therefore, so the wife of a Kohen is also on. So we see that that the wife of a Kohen is also in that case. So not mishum zoyna, but just on the basis of this vehima and espasa, the lava b'makol esse. So all it is you have an esse where the Torah is saying vehima and espasa, and you deduce from that you mean that a Kohen's wife would be also if she was raped. So it's only an isur esse. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabba, hakol hoyu b'chlal zoyna. No, what it is like this. There's a general concept of zoyna, a woman who had relations with her, with somebody else other than her husband. Shepardot l'cha kosev, gabe eishis Yisrael, v'hi lo nispasa. Then the Torah singles out and says, by an eishis Yisrael, that if v'hi lo nispasa asura, that if she wasn't grabbed, then she's also hanispasa muteres, implying that if she was grabbed and raped, then she's muter. But that's an exception. Miklal, the eishis koyin, ki dekaima kaima, the eishis koyin still retains the same status as before, where the Torah tells us that, that she's still in the category of zoyna. So therefore, Rava or Rabba says, yes, as a matter of fact, in this case, we still do say that she's considered a zoyna. I was ba'onis, but the general meaning of zoyna is where she had relations with somebody outside of her husband, and here that's the case. So even though if had he been a Yisrael, then we would apply the exception of the Hila Nispasa, but now we don't do that. Okay, so the Gemara continues. The Ikadamri, another version of the discussion goes, Amar Rabba, Eishes Koyin Shenanta, by the loika ala mashum tuma. Another version is that Rabba says that her husband is getting malchus because she's tummy, implying mishum tuma ein. So the question is mishum tuma ein mishum zoyna loy, implying only because of tuma, not because of zoyna. Alma ba'onis loika rinu be zoyna, implying that if it was the onus, she's not considered a zoyna. So her husband would be also to her, but if let's say her husband died, then according to that, she'd be able to marry another kohen. So now on that, Moshe Reb Zera, so Reb Zera asked, what about the b'raisa of v'hilo nisposa asura ha nisposa muteres? We're saying that normally a woman who's raped is muter to her husband, the yesh l'cha acheres sha'af b'she nisposa asura, but we're saying then there's an exception. There's a woman who was raped and is still also v'ezu zu eishes koyin, namely an eishes koyin, v'lava b'amit kol esse esse. So therefore you have an esse. So therefore it's only an isur esse, not even isur truma. So Amar Rava, the Rava says no, because again, like you said, Hakol Hoyu B'chlal Achrei Asheru Tama. You have a general rule that when a woman becomes tame with relations with somebody else other than her husband, then she's also to her husband. Shapar Lachakasim Gabe Eishes Yisrael V'Hilo Nisposa Asura. Then the Torah singles out by an Eishes Yisrael that she's also only because she wasn't grabbed on Nisposa Muteres, implying that if she was grabbed, she's mutter. Miklal, the Eishes Koyin, ki dekaima kaima, and therefore an Eishes Koyin retains the same status as before, and therefore the Achrei Asheru Tama does apply, but only that she's also on the grounds of Tumah, not on the grounds of Zoyna. Usually when we have two Lashonis in the Gemara, usually we pass them like the second, and that's what the Rambam does over here, and he says that, the Rambam in this case, unusually pass them like the first Lashon, and says that nevertheless she's considered a Zoyna, which would mean, therefore, that she'd be also even to another Koyin, even after her first husband dies. Okay.